Good morning. It is Monday. Yes, it's the 20th of January. And yes, today is going to be tremendous. It's going to be the greatest. Stop it, Leanne Moore. You know what? Can I tell you what? Whether you like it or not, Trump is going to make America great again. And he's going to drag people like you along with him.
So in order to make America great, he must drag other people.
Well, you're not going to do it yourself, so he's going to have to help you. I mean, so what can I tell you?
I asked you why this mic feels so far away, and you went, I don't know, you've shrunk.
I did, because you might have. You know, you could have had a really, like, stressful weekend, and then you shrunk. You remember that movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yes.
With the ants that were enormous?
Yeah.
I thought of an ant movie over the weekend, and I can't remember exactly what it's called. Someone in the comments will have to help us with this, because it was about these, like, killer ants.
Animated, obviously.
No. Well, I mean, it was a really shitty movie. It was, like, terrible. It was a like C grade, not even B grade. And these ants would, like, swarm and just kill people.
Torn Anto.
No, it was something else. It was, like, something killer ants. Or what. It was, like, a really bad, I don't know if it's 80s or 90s movie. It was horrific, though. And I every time I like see a lot of ants and I think, well, we're just a few degrees short of that.
Listen, those things are crazy. I've got them. They sneak up in my house sometimes. And they carry off enormous amounts of...
Have they ever tried to take your phone?
Not quite, but I've seen them move a fork before.
Who here didn't listen to me and invested in Trump coin, said Bitcoin Butt. Yeah, so that's also going on, which is just crazy to me. I mean, I do think that it's probably a very good time to be in cryptocurrency right now. And I think it probably we're going to see some more growth. I mean, again, I'm not the expert in this. And usually everything I decide to do investment-wise is just a mess. I let other people do it because if I decide, it's a disaster just from beginning to end. But today is Donald Trump's inauguration. So Washington, D.C., it's going to be packed with people. They're all going to be there for his inauguration, his swearing in. And
swearing at.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that too. But I actually think that the people who don't like him are just so moribund at the moment. They're just so downcast and unhappy that they don't even have energy to like fight this thing.
No. I mean, I'm one of them. And sorry, but not sorry. And it's just like, I will let it happen.
Yeah, well, you don't have a choice, really. No. Yeah, what are you going to do, scream at the air like those blue-haired people did the last time he won?
Yeah, exactly.
But it will be interesting to see this new era begin because I do think it's going to be quite groundbreaking. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that is brought back, but I think he's wily, this old guy. He's learned some lessons. He's going to do a whole lot of new things that people probably will hate when he implements them. There will be some people who get it, who appreciate what he's trying to do. And obviously, there are those of us who think that he's probably a good idea overall, but we'll be proven right or wrong, depending on how it all unfolds.
Do you think he has learned? Can he learn? Does he allow himself to learn?
Yeah, and look at that face. Yeah, that should tell you everything you need to know. Now,
makes me cross my legs. That's what it does.
I think that it is the absolute height of hubris for people like us to sit here and go, oh, can he learn? Is he smart enough to change where he needs to? I mean, like, this guy he's ticked all the boxes of what makes a thoroughly good story. All the wives.
All the porn.
Well, you can jump to that, sure. But he became a billionaire. He was left millions, but he became a billionaire. He's got properties all over America. He's got investments all over the world. He's got a family who seemingly really like him because they're always around supporting him, which is more than I can say for Joe Biden and his derelict son, Hunter, okay? And the bastard children that Hunter's made with prostitutes. So before we get on to like paying off fours, okay? Like, I think powerful men always need more than just a wife. I think that's mostly true throughout history, right? And you can argue with me. We can say, oh, it's wrong. And you know, maybe it's a very bad reflection on men. But If that's all you got to go at him with, that's not very much. He's got this, he became president when nobody thought he could the first time. Then he goes off 4 years in the wilderness, rebuilds, figures everything out. They try to kill him like two or three times, depending on who you believe. And then he wins and becomes president again. I think that's a hell of a story. If you can't see it in a historical context, then, I mean, this is like during the lifetime of Julius Caesar. There were people going, oh, dictator, oh, he's going to try and change everything. He's a bad influence on things. And they did try to kill him and they won. They actually got it right. They killed him. So how many people do you know who talk about Brutus and Cassius? And how many people do you know who talk about Julius Caesar?
Yeah.
And when Napoleon was around and he was the celebrity of the 1800s, the early 1800s, there were loads of people who absolutely despised Napoleon. The British press was full of propaganda about how short he was, how grumpy he was, how evil he was, how louche his private personal life was. And yet the guy pretty much conquered Europe, died in ignominy on a little island just off the coast of Africa. But during his life, people hated him. And now people still talk about Napoleon. They don't talk about the stupid people in the press who hated him. I just think we're living through actual history here.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree. Obviously I'm nitpicking.
No, but it's also fun to do that.
In terms of, I've always said I don't think it's possible for men in general to be monogamous, never mind someone in his position.
But is that really a thing that bugs you about him?
Yeah, the paying off and the hiding, the secrecy, the lies, instead of just being honest about it, I suppose.
You mean like every other president who's lied, like when Bill Clinton had Monica Lewinsky?
Bad, bad, bad.
Right.
Cannot like him again, ever.
Really?
I think it's... Bless
Monica,
you.
I told you to stop that.
It's perhaps maybe it's a conditioned
thing. That's why we got the desk, by the way.
In females, and especially females who've been cheated on.
Yeah, well,
you protect yourself by not liking the person
exactly,
immediately. You're like, no, I don't like him.
What you just said now is exactly why you shouldn't have a vote. You or other women who think like, no, really? Really? It's like you make your decisions based on how hurt you've been by some guy. I mean, that is like the worst. If that was a business decision, you know it would be terrible. But you're prepared to put someone in the position of president because you think they have better personal relations with their wife or whatever. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
No, I'm saying no, not at all. I would distrust a man who was in a monogamous relationship anyway, because I know men are not built for that.
So then you like them if they do you don't like them if they do and you don't like them if they don't. So they're just screwed either way.
Perhaps.
All right. Okay, well, let's go. So Lee says he's won twice. He must be doing something right. Look, I just think we got to talk about TikTok just now because that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But it's such an amazing time to witness incredible seismic changes happening in the world. I mean, for God's sake, you know, we joked when we started the show last week about Canada becoming the 51st state, about Greenland being bought from Denmark, about the Gulf of Mexico being renamed the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you almost wish you were there in, I don't know, the late 17, early 1800s when Jefferson purchased Alaska and Louisiana from the French, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
Alaska
those were huge moves.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that in...
I actually think Alaska was purchased a bit later on, but the Louisiana purchase from the French in the South. I mean, otherwise, that part of America, just like Quebec and Canada, would be speaking French, not English, you know? It's just it's a weird thing to be part of what's actually transpiring in real time and that you know is going to be written into a history book somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of keen to see how it all goes. Katie Hopkins, Nye says, has been entertaining us with a lot of content from DC with all the Trump haters that were protesting this past weekend. Now, you know, Sny, it's such an interesting thing that you are watching Katie Hopkins because She was persona non grata. When I discovered her on the internet probably about 11 years ago, I was like, wow.
Even longer. It was
because she already, by that stage, had become somewhat notorious for talking about things like farm killings in South Africa. And there were people in South Africa who, especially in the media, you know, are betters in the media who think they know more than we do and have got everything wrong in the last five years. Those people had convinced us that she was probably one of the worst actors in journalism, in inverted commas, that she was a spiteful, mean, racist, sexist, conservative witch who didn't deserve a second glance. And the funny thing is that, again, because she's been right almost 10 times for every one time that all the people who don't like her have been right, it's amazing how you just have to hang in there. You just have to keep fighting. And she did. And they've tried to destroy her. And over the years, she's got a great sense of humor about this. But she stuck it out. And now Katie Hopkins is kind of, I wouldn't say mainstream, but her opinions are not that controversial anymore. The things that she's saying are not the kinds of things that people are going, oh, that's very, very dangerous, what she just said. She's going to get canceled. Like, she's pretty much uncancelable. And I'll tell you, those are the people who I want to listen to because they've been through the wars. They've stood up and they've consistently fought for the things that they believe in, that they gather information about, that they're convinced that are going on when everyone else says they're not. And you know what? You learn from those people. You don't learn from the nodding heads that just keep working narratives that have long since been debunked. And I find like Katie Hopkins is tremendously entertaining. She's got such a sense of humor about stuff too. You know, she went on some TV show where she said, and someone raised issues that, like, I think you were heading towards here too, with like, oh, but he said, grab him by the pussy or whatever, Donald Trump, right? And she said, you know, I'm a woman. I have a good relationship with the man I'm with. She said, I don't really care if the president says grab him by the pussy. What I care about is that he isn't a pussy and that he actually stands up for his country. And I mean, the audience went boo or wah, and then one or two of them clapped. And like now, I think most people clap again. It's changing. It's definitely changing. So, all right, let's get to TikTok because this is also something you know a lot about.
Well, I'm battling to keep up because it's changing by the second.
Okay, so this morning, the latest we have is that Trump actually says he may just give them a reprieve of 90 days so that so that he can figure things out.
Which I think is wise.
Well, he's been inconsistent on this because, you know, as soon as he started getting popular on TikTok and it helped him, then he became a fan. But before that, it was Jaina, very bad. So I'm not sure I completely understand his position on this. I'm thrilled. I was posting funny stuff. I thought it was funny all weekend about how, you know, these people who are on TikTok, these TikTok stars are going to have to go and get jobs now, the American ones, because they don't they don't have connection to their audience anymore. All those people you used to tell me about, like these makeup people or whatever.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Because their audience is gone.
So they have other platforms.
Yeah. That but like Truth Social.
consistently, like on Instagram. You know, YouTube offers shorts now. YouTube Shorts. Facebook stories are available, although no one's playing in that circle, only in South Africa. Facebook is like a never die thing in
it's
South
amazing,
Africa.
Right? Like so now strange. they're going back to Facebook where their grandparents and parents are.
Well, it's actually only South Africans, but no, the
South Africans are going back there.
South African Facebook still has such a great following in South Africa, and consistently grows. It's crazy. Anyway, no, they'll go to YouTube Shorts, and then Red Note is the other big thing. Red Note is another Chinese platform.
Oh, right.
I'm just looking it up now to see what the latest is because I don't even know. But yeah, a lot of people have been flocking to Red Note. I do have some images up because it's become obviously really topical. And there's a great cartoon depicting what Red Note has done. So Red Note is this Chinese app where they share memes and all sorts of things. And this cartoon depicts that with Red Note in the middle as their own. They've used cats in this analogy because obviously we think about cats when we think about TikTok and, you know.
Of course.
And there it is in the middle with all these strangers coming
by
in.
By the way, I just have to say, looking at that, how shit are cartoons these days? I mean, like, that's
people used to try and
my nephew, who's eight, can do a better cartoon than that. Look at how shit that is. So what's the plan of this? What's the purpose of this cartoon? What are they saying?
So that's Red Note in the middle.
Yeah.
And they're being approached by all these strangers knocking on the door saying, can we join? Can we join? So I think you have to be accepted in order to go onto Red Note. You can't just sign up.
Okay.
So, for instance, this one girl has in the other image has sent a picture of her cat. Apparently, the Red Noters are now only accepting you if you send a picture of your cat. It's just like a
that's hilarious.
A funny.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a cute thing.
there we go. There's the as a new member from the US, I've heard that we should pay cat tax in order to be considered for acceptance as a member. I'm more than happy to pay. Please say hello to my cat Lily and send me a picture of your cat or dog. That's what it says there.
So what's really fascinating is that you, for the first time, Americans on a social media app are actually making conversation with the Chinese.
That's good.
These two communities that were completely divided because of TikTok.
But I do
think now coming together.
I do think it's funny. We've always spoken about how if you took away people's following, so many of them would just fall apart because, you know, without the following, and if that's what you've based your entire career on, you really are nothing.
Well, people have become savvy. They don't just base their entire career on one platform anymore.
It's still fun. It's still fun to watch. Like the, it's kind of, there was a funny thing that was posted about how Gen Z was angry for like 4.3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then moved on because 4.3 seconds is how their brains have been trained by TikTok exactly. to pay maximum attention, right? So like, that's it, 4.3 seconds, and then suddenly, okay, well, we move on.
Yeah.
But on cats, while we're on that, because I know you're an expert, one of my friends told me he's got a 24-year-old cat.
Wow, that's very good going.
That's old, right? How cats don't normally last that long.
They can, but if you, it also depends. Is he an indoor-only cat?
I don't know any of the details.
Indoor-only cats last forever.
Really?
Well, they don't have any risks. They don't get into fights. They don't get run over by cars. They don't get stuck in trees or fall out of walls.
They're real pussies, basically.
Yeah. Oh. So they last longer. But in general, a cat will start showing its age at 16, which is pretty long going. And then it's kind of a sharp decline.
What's the oldest one you've had?
Well, let's not jinx it because she's alive now.
Okay.
But she's heading towards 17.
Wow.
But 24, okay. I've never 24 seen
for a cat's very, very old. And then before we move on from the social media thing, I thought about this too over the weekend. I don't know. I must have been in a philosophical mood because I suddenly realized like Gen X, which is like our generation, we are the last non fully internet generation.
Analog, yeah. We're the last ones to have used analog.
Right, or even just to not have had phones on us the whole time. Because I remember school, I didn't have a phone at school. And then at varsity, I think halfway through varsity, they started bringing out cell phones in South Africa. And what was amazing about that is that we knew what life was like before the internet. I'm not saying it's an advantage or a disadvantage, by the way. It could be neither. It might just be an interesting fact, but you know, you often hear your parents getting nostalgic about stuff. And in my day, this used to happen and that used to happen. And you think, ugh. And I'm sure that's what people who hear us talking about a pre-internet age will think. But it is like these imperceptible changes that start happening. And then suddenly you're in a different universe. I mean, the idea that anyone who's alive right now and who's been fully immersed in the digital world from birth, pretty much, if you had to put them back in 1995, they'd be like terrified.
Absolutely
You're
lost.
Blown out, right? So
absolutely. I'm so bored.
How would you look?
Although they might not be bored because they'll be so busy trying to figure things out.
How would you look up information in the, because they didn't have, they don't know the skills of like actually trying to find information in an analog world.
There are people who can't read,
through books.
Read a clock.
No, of course you can't read a clock because that's just an unnecessary thing to do these days. Memorizing phone numbers. You have to remember a phone number, an address. You don't have to remember that either. You don't have to. If you're looking for a place, pick up a map book.
Reading a paper map. Yeah.
And try to find your way around. There are all these things that we just kind of had to learn in that pre-internet era, which you don't need anymore. And again, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but certain muscles, certain parts of your brain that were used to doing all of that stuff are just redundant now.
Well, I mean, think about our careers.
No points in them,
I remember
right?
editing reel to reel.
Yeah.
And that was literally a reel to a reel of tape, listening to it, playing, finding the exact point where you needed it to be edited, and physically taking a pair of scissors, cutting it out and taping it back together. But I think the advantage is that we appreciate technology so much. Whereas if you were born into it,
no, you kind of take it for granted.
Just take it for granted.
Well, do you remember, and Janet puts this in the comments, she says, the kids of today will never know the joy of standing in a queue to use a payphone at school to phone their parents.
If you were allowed.
Yeah, and of course you had to pay as well.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, they weren't going to let you use. The only time they'd let you use the office phone is if you were really, really sick and someone had to come and fetch you.
Now, basically, you'd lost a limb and you were losing blood quickly.
Or if you were going to be expelled. You know,
yeah.
Then the parents would be called. But that was it. And then you'd have to call your parents at work. This is another thing I thought about the other day. You'd either have to call them at work or at home. If they weren't at home or they were out on a call at work or something, then tough.
If they were doing the shopping.
Yeah. You just there's no way to get hold of them. I went yesterday to the shops and I thought about how I now use my phone to pay for everything because I don't even carry a credit card around.
It's so freeing.
Right?
Yeah.
And but we're totally into this. This is the only thing that you can use for everything now. And there's so many functions and features that we're like, what's the next one? What's the next one? And we don't take stock of how far we've come. It's bloody it's really impressive.
I mean, we have a new employee. She's just matriculated last year.
Yeah.
And she joined us more or less on the day she was getting her results, which, of course, were on the internet. And you remember how we got ours?
Newspapers.
We'd sit until midnight wait until 1 minute past midnight.
I remember that the school got the results around about the same time, and then they would post them on the like notice board.
We were on matric vac.
I know Leanne and I sound like dinosaurs, but the people in the audience who are our age and maybe
it's
even
not
older.
That long ago,
it's
guys.
Not that long ago. And I mean, Flex and James are pretty much falling asleep. They can't believe that this, you know, why don't you tell us about the dark ages again? We went to the school and then they'd posted our results on the thing. And
you'd have to push past people to try and
see
yours.
See yours, and you were like, and you couldn't really remember what did I get for history again.
But also, then you could see everyone's results. Now it's completely private.
Yeah, and which I think is a problem.
Yeah, like this matriculant said, you know, there obviously are a lot of suicides at this time because when people have done badly and other people can see, they feel embarrassed, etc. And I said to her, well, actually, in our day, it wasn't cool to get good marks. When you did really well, it was like you didn't want to tell anyone.
No. And also, I mean, if you're going to – let me just say this to anyone. I know this is going to be one of those things I probably regret saying, but if you're going to kill yourself, let it be about something more important than matric results, you know?
When you're in matric, it's your everything. Your world is so small.
Please. Then you're a fucking idiot. Then it's better that we don't have you around. I'm that insensitive this morning. I mean, if that's going to be – let me just tell you that you're – your life is going to be full of ups and downs, all right? I've also got lots of ups and downs.
Sure. And
I've had a few. There are more coming.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of stuff. And honestly, if you let something as stupid as matric ruin your day to the point where you're actually thinking, well, it's too much for me. Goodbye, sweet dear life, because of matric. I mean, we'll talk to Dr. Hanan about this later. He's
or
back.
Just take it.
No, he's back today. So
take it in the sense that if you hadn't have killed yourself, one day when you're older, you will look back and think, how stupid was it? was I to even think about that?
Yeah, at the same time, and we can't keep everybody around. Dud says, no more TikTok. We'll dance in underpants for food. There we go. TikTok influencers find new ways of earning money after the app is banned. Yes, but OnlyFans has already been a thing, and most of the TikTokers who have both are still on OnlyFans, right? So here, listen to this. This is from Duds. I'm Gen X at 52 years old now. I'm going back to my roots. No social media and minimum screen time. Life is much better. I'm telling you that there's a value to not being on there the whole time. I mean, I've just extolled the virtues of the phone. And I will stand by those virtues. Has made life easier for many of us. It's connected us in ways that we would never have been connected before. But there's something beautiful about switching it off and moving away. Just for a while. I mean, you can't, in this modern existence, you cannot get away from this stuff forever. You're going to have to. You can't be some Luddite who never uses a phone and stays off the internet completely. But you can minimize it. And your happiness goes through the roof. I reckon that the reason people are like suicidal about matric is because, again, everybody knows everybody's business. And you're always on there. And that's more important than like what's going on in your real life. It's stupid.
Just before we move on from that, it was something that my grandfather noted. So my grandfather was born in 1915.
Wow.
And he died at the age of 103. So if you think about in his lifetime, what he saw.
Oh, yeah.
From beginning to end.
So he would have been around just after flight was discovered.
Exactly.
So after the Wright brothers, around the time the Titanic sunk, he was a child.
Yes. So he noted, and he was an engineer, so very much into, he was a mining engineer, but wanted from a little boy to be a train engineer. So very into locomotives and transport and aeroplanes. We would go with him to the airport to watch planes taking off.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But he noted in his older years, he said the advent of flight and then from the development of big aeroplanes like the Boeing, things completely slow down. And still to this day, it's one of the things that we've seen change so little are our big transportation Boeings and Airbuses by comparison to cars and AI and things like that. It's so slow changing, which means that they really did get it right.
Oh,
right from the beginning.
I actually think there was probably more of the development in that sort of arena during the first half of the 20th century than in the second half. The second half, it kind of slowed down. Like post-World War II, everything kind of ground
and
to a halt.
And still has.
Yeah, and we're sort of stuck in, you know, discussing whether or not this thing at the United Nations is important or not. I met a girl on Saturday who's a translator for the UN. She translates Polish, Ukrainian, and Russian. So, like, sure. Ukrainian and Russian, she's been pretty busy for the last four years, you know? And it was interesting also to hear from her about some of the conversations that she has been a part of translating, because that's ongoing, and we can only hope that, you know, something gets done about that in the next year, too. There's lots this year to look forward to, and there's probably some stuff that we're not going to enjoy. So I see here that this is quite interesting. What happened to phone card indexes? People wrote down phone numbers on little cards and used a dial in the holder to select the alphabet of the name you wanted to get a phone number.
That's right.
Yeah, and you'd move the thing along.
You'd move like a plastic lever.
Yeah, and then it would take you to A, and then you'd have all the surnames or names under A. I mean, it's so backward now if you think about it.
The clip would grab the pages so that it opened up onto the right
Correct.
Page.
So but I mean, I don't remember. Now, if you asked me to come up with phone numbers, I could probably remember one or two of the phone numbers when we were kids.
Do you remember
kids.
Your home phone number?
I could probably.
I do.
You do?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some stuff you just don't need to recall at the drop of a hat. I mean, I was trying to explain to my dad the other day how to listen to a podcast. You'd think after, like, I've been doing it for 11 years, he'd know. But he's like, okay, I know how to do yours, but I don't know any others. And also, I think there comes a point in everybody's life at a certain age where you decide, okay, I don't want to learn. Yeah, I don't want to learn anymore. Like, 100%. I'm done. I'm done with learning.
Yeah, it's like, okay, look,
you know,
technology's won the war. I'm just going to stop right here.
I love what Sianda says here, to go back to Matrix for a second. We've had presidents without a Matrix, so failing isn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
That's so right. So right. And Congo Chris says, just stop oil defaced Darwin's grave. That's in Westminster Abbey on Thursday. Let's not talk about apps. Let's ban that criminal organization. Oh, for sure. There was a girl who's been put in jail. She was a Just Stop Oil protester in Britain, and she's been sentenced to, I think, 3 or 4 years in jail, which is good. I think it should be execution, public execution on Trafalgar Square at noon on a Friday. But that's just me.
Yeah, that is,
you know,
just
call me old-fashioned, but I think if you want to stop bad behavior, that's how you do it. I really think, like, there are things. There we go. Look at that. That is appalling. First of all, for anybody to get into a place like Westminster Abbey with spray paint, I don't know how. And I'm not even sure what she's trying to say there. 1.5 is dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the message is. It doesn't matter what the message is. It's just, that is so goddamn disrespectful in so many ways. And also, why Darwin? Like, what are you going at him for? Like, what's your problem with Darwin? It's says they, Charles Robert Darwin, born 12 February.
Unless you're like a raiding Christian. I don't understand.
1809, sorry. 1882 is when he died. And what is 1.5 is dead? Look at those people. They're old people, by the way. Those are not Gen Z TikTokers, okay? Those are fucking people older than you and me. Jeez. What's up with them, with their saggy tits and what's
their hairy armpits?
Yeah, you know, like, what's going on with you? Like, what happened? Show me on the dole where the bad man touched you, ladies. Like, why would you go and do this? Your generation
might be
should
a midlife crisis of sorts.
I mean, like, really? How embarrassing to be that old and to be arrested for spray painting on a grave.
Yeah.
It's a thing a teenager should do. Well, even they shouldn't do it. Again, public executions. Sorry, you old biddies. Straight off to Trafalgar Square, guillotine them right there. Bring back the guillotine. That's, I never thought I'd say that, but there we are. Unbelievable. And what is this question from Tracy? She says, that's where we are with mobile phones. What's the next big thing? I think it has perhaps reached its ceiling. Next could be implants, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we've talked about that, you know, Neuralink. I teach social media, says just plain Jared. An interesting fact is that between 2022 and 23, South Africa dropped from 28 million users to 25.8 million users.
Mm.
So how did we lose when everywhere else in the world it's growing?
Yeah.
How did we drop backwards?
First time I've seen that stat. And I deal with...
I'd be interested to know more about that, Jared.
Yeah.
A lot of people joined social media during COVID and post-COVID. A lot of people left the platforms again. Maybe that's what it is. In terms of social media usage, that's 28 million users in 22 to 26 million users in 2024. So could people be going off of these things? You mentioned earlier how in South Africa, Facebook's still a thing.
Yes.
I think it's probably our biggest social media platform in South Africa still, which is remarkable.
Nowhere else in the world.
And I don't know what the second biggest is, but maybe it's Instagram or Twitter.
I think it's YouTube.
YouTube. Okay, very good. All right, South Africa, doing your own thing. You don't care what the other people are up to. Well done, everybody. We don't give a shit here. We're still like, no, keep Facebook going. Everyone else in the world is like,
you know what it is?
Facebook.
It used to be such an aspirational thing to own a device that would be able to log into Facebook. Because if you didn't have a smartphone, there was no way of getting onto Facebook.
But isn't it true? I mean, you do this every day. The average age of a person on Facebook is much older than the average age of people on every other social media platform.
Again, not so much in South Africa. It's so weird.
So those two women who defaced Charles Darwin's grave, I mean, they're like, that's Facebook is their demographic.
No, theirs is actually TikTok.
Really?
In the 40 plus and 50 plus on TikTok
is big.
Massive.
Really?
Yeah.
I never downloaded that app.
Yeah.
People would send me clips from that had been taken off of TikTok. And then I'd often get a link and it'd take me in and try to register me. And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's maybe I'm also at the stage, like my dad doesn't want to learn how to do more podcasts than just my one. Maybe I'm also at the stage where I'm like, nah, that one I can do without. I think I made that decision, even if it was subconsciously.
I rely on it for news.
It's like I've never gone on Reddit.
Yeah.
And apparently there's really useful stuff there.
Oh, hugely.
I'm
yeah.
sure. So
it's yeah, it's one of the
I can't do them
biggest
all.
Growing in the US.
How many platforms. Are you on? All of them?
On Reddit?
No, are you on all of these apps, on all of these social media platforms?
Not personally, but for my clients, yes. Okay. Personally, I mean, I'm shocking on social media. I don't know when last I posted anything on
someone
any
said
of the
to
platforms.
Me, someone said to me, you haven't posted any selfies since the early 2000s, Leanne.
Yeah. I've never been one to provide content for other people on my platforms. I'm on them because I need to be. But TikTok is the first platform that I've consumed in the manner that I do. And I rely on it for news, for knowing first sure. what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where I think X is really helpful and always will be. It's by far the best source of news and always has been. Mm. Even when, you know, pre-Elon, it was still the place where ordinary citizen journalists could report stuff. Mm. And you could start to figure things out a lot better than if you followed traditional media. Anyway, speaking of X... Trump declares only two genders as the official policy. That kicks in today because he becomes president this evening.
That's interesting. I wonder about
South African
people who are born with both genders.
Well, they're called hermaphrodites and will continue to be called so.
But that's the third.
Yes, yes, yes. But there are only about 10 of them in the world. So don't worry. Tiny, tiny proportion. That's like making a rule.
10 in the world.
That's like making a rule for cats.
There are about 100 in South Africa, right?
Well, 100. Okay. So call it a couple of thousand in the world. But that's like saying, well, we need special laws for three-legged cats. You don't.
Well, we should. They should only be able to buy three shoes.
All right. You get my point. You're focused on the wrong thing. You're immersed in this stuff too much, if you ask me. So the big story here is that if you, before, up to now, under the Biden administration, you were allowed to self-identify on your passport or social security card or whatever it might have been. So you could have chosen one of, I don't know, 43 genders to put on there. And he's just going to say that's bullshit from here mm-hmm. on in. So what will happen is that really activist people who are big time into their identity, will keep their old card like a souvenir. Well, they'll probably carry on using that card as long mm-hmm. as possible. Or their passport that says they, them. They'll be like, I still want to use this one. And someone somewhere will say to them eventually, I'm sorry, that's expired. And then they'll have a tantrum in the airport. And now they don't have anywhere to post it because TikTok's gone. So who knows? They might have to just deal with that themselves and like have a little tantrum on their own and none of us will have to care.
Oh, that'll be nice. And no one will see it.
No one will give a shit. So that's going on. Then Argentina, I can't tell you how much I love Javier Milei, the president of Argentina. This guy is just so great. So a while ago, I posted a thing saying, just watch Argentina. It's going to be a story that will make the whole world take notice. And it is. It's now becoming precise. I'm not saying I'm prescient or I'm Nostradamus or any of that stuff. But I will say this. At the time, there's a journalist who we used to have sometimes on the show called Richard Poplack, mm-hmm. who said, oh, this is going to be a horror show. Just wait and see. And screenshotted my post. All right. Mm. And someone reposted that over the weekend.
All right.
And I'd just like to read this to you. Under Milei's leadership, Argentina turned a $7.94 billion trade deficit in the 2023 year into a record-smashing $18 to $19 billion surplus in 2024, surpassing the previous high of $16.89 billion in 2009. His push to boost energy exports from the Vaca Muerta shale reserves and ramp up grain sales is paying off, making Argentina a global exporting powerhouse again. With inflation already down from nearly 300% to 117.8%, and it keeps on dropping, so it'll get better, Milei's economic reforms are proving their worth. So, sure. Horror show?
Was there perhaps something that had to suffer in order for those things to happen?
No. This is just good That's free market amazing. Capitalism. He is just taking down big government. He's actually put an IQ test in place for government employees.
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be welcome?
What, in this country?
Yeah.
We'd have no government. If you had an IQ test and you just took, this is also something that came up last week while we were talking about this, because, you know, with the Bella Act and everything else, people are talking about education in South Africa. The matric results have just come out. People are going to be going to university this year and enrolling for courses. So we got to figure out who's clever and who's not. Because the reason people go to university is so that they can have a piece of paper that says, I'm clever, hire me.
Yeah. And not everyone can go to university, which is why you have matric exemptions. Which...
By the way, I'm not a big fan of university on that basis. And I haven't been for a long time. There are some subjects, there's some disciplines that you need to learn at a university where you're supervised by professors and you're taught practical stuff, engineering, medicine, some of the sciences. I'd even say there are a few humanities subjects and business subjects which qualify, although they have scant in the distribution. But it's all about trying to figure out who's clever or not. So IQ, which a lot of people really don't like talking about, is still reliably the best way to figure out not that someone's clever, but that someone has a brain that can pick up patterns. Like, you know, if I pour hot water into this cup and I add coffee to it, I can then drink that coffee and it will taste a certain way every time if I pour it the same way with the same coffee. Patterns. If A plus B equals C, then C minus A equals B. These are patterns that a brain that is able to recognize patterns faster than another brain gets a higher IQ score on. That's what it is. And you want people who identify patterns, because otherwise the whole of life is a surprise the whole fucking time. They wake up in the morning and like, oh, sun's up again. Whoa, what happened here? Because they don't recognize the pattern of, you know, 24-hour cycles and all the rest of it. So it's kind of important to have IQ as a measure of pattern seeking. That's why you'll see IQ tests. I don't know when last you did one. I haven't done one for ages, but they show you a pattern. They give you numbers in a sequence. They show you blocks that face in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. You have to have the brain that can, without having to draw things or pick up your phone, can work out that if you revolve this thing 180 degrees, it looks like that, as opposed to like this. Right? These are things that matter.
Yeah.
But it's a massively controversial thing, because our country has an IQ, an average IQ, which is really bad. Either in the in the upper 60s, depending on who you reference here, and you can look this up. Don't take my word for it.
No.
Reference the upper 60s to lower 70s.
And
by the way, the U.S. military will not hire you.
Yes, no, definitely not. Not to use weapons and make decisions.
You do more harm than good.
Yeah.
Because you can't follow simple instructions.
Absolutely. You'll be the one with the bazooka the wrong way around.
We don't want that.
No, exactly.
All right, that
made me think about, I'm still so pissed off because I know of at least two people who bought their driver's licenses. And I know that these two people would in no way pass a learner's test, because I know very intelligent people who are battling to pass their learner's test.
Yes.
But there are people who do not know how to drive who are driving, and it pisses me off.
Well, we've got to come to terms with this at some point, because the storm that broke out on X, and which I'm fine with. It doesn't bother me anymore when people disagree with me. We've got to reckon with the fact that we've got this very low average IQ in South Africa, which means the average South African, one in two South Africans, is not going to recognize patterns. Okay, they're not going to be able to like sit the right way around on a toilet. Okay, this is something we've got to reckon with as a country if we want to get better. And this is not going to be made better by Siviwe Warube, who's now the Minister of Basic Education. And it's not the universities that are going to make it better. And it's not even the schools that are going to make it better. This is a hardware problem, not a software problem.
This is a Charles Darwin problem.
you don't say. Okay, so we've gone full circle. Let's get Dr. Hanan on. I've missed this guy. Is he there? Fantastic. Dr. Hanan, I've missed you. We needed to check in with you. Obviously, my mental health has gone for a ball of shit since we last spoke to you. how are you, and happy new year? What's news?
Happy New Year. Yeah, things have been pretty good. Had a good break. But as you know, you get back on the hamster wheel very quickly. And It's a press reset and off we go. You know, there's no time for, you know, acclimatizing to the new year. It's expecting a lot from us and we'll just move on with life. How have you been, guys? How's your mental health? How does that make you feel?
This is interesting. Leanne actually has data from a 10,000 children study that's just been released about what makes children anxious in 2024, 2025. And we were talking about matric just now, and I was saying, well, you know, if you're going to contemplate suicide because of matric, you don't realize like matric's one of the less important things in the big scheme of things. And obviously, people will encounter many, many challenges in their lives. For all I know, they've already encountered many of these challenges in individual life stories. But I hear this word anxious bandied about so much, and it makes me anxious because I'm like, you can't be anxious about all of this stuff. If it's hot, you're anxious. If it's cold, you're anxious. If there's rain, you're anxious. If there's no rain, you're anxious. This is not a way to live, Doc. I mean, are we becoming weaker and less able to deal with any adversity whatsoever? Or am I just imagining that this anxiety is being used as an excuse for everything?
No, so the self-diagnosis of anxiety and depression and anger and insecurity and frustration and guilt, it's going up. It's not getting better for people. And for some reason, people give themselves permission to self-diagnose all the time. And I tell people, you know, just because you've had a toothache doesn't make you a dentist. And just because you've had a headache doesn't make you a doctor. And just because you've had car problems doesn't make you a mechanic. But for some reason, you know, because somebody has felt sad or anxious, they think they're qualified to be a psychologist and diagnose other people and diagnose themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a massive danger in diagnosing and over-diagnosing yourself, because I always say, if you keep on looking internal, you will always come up with stuff to worry about. There's always stuff to worry about. And the reality is that you can't see your life as short stints of wins and losses. Life is long. You got to see life as an experiment that just gives you data to make your next move better. Because the moment you see your life as a bunch of wins and I'm happy when I win, or losses and I'm sad when I lose, then you're a slave to circumstance.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll win and sometimes you'll lose. So to your point, you know, matric is just one of those things. Wait until you're in a committed relationship. Wait until you're in a job. Wait until you're a parent. Wait till you lose a loved one. I mean, life is still coming. And you can't see it as these bunch of, you know, successes and losses, but you got to see it as data and ask yourself, how do I use this information to make my next move better? In that way, you cannot lose, because this data is always going to be coming and you can always use it to make your life better.
Well, I mean, this research that you found, Leanne, I think this is quite interesting stuff, because we could start off this year talking about all kinds of things with you. And I was more hopeful that we would start off with, you know, how do you get your priorities right at the beginning of the year? How do you practically, and what you are and what we love about having you on the show, Doc, is that you give people practical ways of making their life more meaningful, how to derive more purpose, how to get your head right, obviously. And that's why we love having you on. But I wanted to start with all of that stuff. And then I saw the story about the anxiety. And I thought, we got to nail this one immediately. Let's sort this out right now.
So it's interesting, because if you think about what worried you when you were aged between 8 and 12, so in primary school, what were the things that would have caused anxiety for you at that age?
Not being cool. However that went down. You know, also,
so in other words, school stuff.
Yeah, and not knowing anything and wearing shit clothes. I mean, I don't know what else. I'm trying to think, but I don't know that anything really bothered me. I was like, I wanted to laugh and have fun with my friends, which is pretty much what I did. And school wasn't very serious. I don't know about you, Leanne, but I was a bit of a nerd, but I never took it seriously.
Yeah, no, I would not have cried over my results.
Oh, hell no.
No.
What bothered you?
And I didn't understand when other people did. Things like monsters in the dark.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, yeah, yeah. But that's still a problem for you now.
It's still, it is, actually. But what was interesting is that the survey, also surveying primary school children at that age, these were their top five things that they're anxious about. And I rolled my eyes thinking, oh, it's going to be if my phone runs out of battery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're the exact same things that we worried about.
Go on.
Number one, worries about going to school. Uh-huh. Fear of making mistakes. Uh-huh. Fear of the dark. Fear of sleeping alone and fear of making new friends.
Okay. That's
nothing to do with technology. I was very surprised.
That's a bit of consistency then. Should we celebrate that, Doc?
Yeah, you know what? It's the question is flawed because, again, the answers that you get from life is heavily dependent on the questions that you ask. So if I wake up in the morning and I go, why does my life suck? My brain will naturally focus on giving me answers and this is what I should be having there. I'm unlucky and I should be having this relationship or I should be making more money. My brain will find answers for those questions. But if I ask myself, why am I so lucky and why I should be grateful, well, my brain will search for that. It's a law of focused intent. You look for what you ask for. You look for what you're intentional about. So if you ask a child, and for that matter, an adult, what are you anxious about, your brain will naturally look for things that worry you. And in life, value is married to stress. We naturally stress over things that we value, but that's a human condition. So to your point, Leanne, things that we worried about at 8 years old, 20 years ago, are still going to be the things that we worry about at 8 years old, 20 years later, or 8 year old, 20 years later. Do you remember the song, guys? Sunscreen. Where's sunscreen?
Yes.
Where's sunscreen? Mm-hmm. Baz Luhrmann.
Yes.
The class of 99. Mm-hmm. Wear a sunscreen. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listen to it now. So this song is obviously 25 years old. Go listen to the words and see how they are related to today 100%. They completely are aligned with things that we worry about today. It says politicians are corrupt. People don't respect the elders. You're not as fat as you think. The don't read beauty magazines. They only make you feel ugly. So now it's social media. But the things that we worry about then are still relevant today.
Yeah.
People worry about their careers. People worry about their sense of purpose. People worry about getting old. People worry about illness. People worry about financial instability, their friends, their loved ones. It's the same thing that's been there for since the beginning of time, and it's always going to be there. But again, it doesn't mean that you have a problem. It's a human condition. It means you value it. There's nothing wrong with it. We can't label that as anxiety and there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You got to label it as this is the human condition and what do I do now to make my life better?
Yeah. 100%.
I think that this is a good way to start the year, actually. I'm kind of pleased that we went through these things that make you anxious. I also think there's so much stuff that you allow into your reality. And you always talk about like focusing on the right things. You know, if you want to see a red car, if you think about red cars, you're only going to see red cars. And you've used that example before. I think this year it's really important for all of us to pay attention to the things we care about rather than the things that everybody tells us we should care about. The news, like this obsession that some people have with the news or worrying about what's going on in Britain or Tajikistan. And like these things are never going to affect you. They're not in any meaningful, purposeful way. And I'm interested, for example, in American politics, but I'm certainly not upset about it when things happen that I don't agree with. And I think that we can choose to take in information that makes us happier and information that makes us feel more knowledgeable and interesting, and we can make better conversation with other people. And we want to meet people who make us happy too. So just treat everybody like a filter. Or rather, put everyone through your filter, put all the news through your filter and decide, is this good for me, bad for me? And this year, let's just try to exclude as much of the bad as possible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 100%. Gareth, you know, I'm telling my patients these days to act like a really well-orchestrated firewall in their own lives. In other words, filter only the things that make you better, that align with your values. But that requires you to know what you want out of life. The moment you know what you want and you know what you want to create for yourself, and I urge everybody, and I know it's a tedious exercise and people want better, but they don't want to do better in their lives. They don't want to put in the effort. But I'm telling you, this will really serve you well if you just sit down and write down, what do I want in the following 8 areas of my life in terms of career, financial security, family, friends, romantic, diet, exercise, and sleep.
Right.
And if those are the 8 anchors in life, and ask yourself a simple question, what do I want to create in those areas? And then the second step is ask yourself, investing in this conversation, investing in this program on TV, investing in this social media post, investing in this person, investing in this environment, does it serve my goals in those 8 areas? And if the answer is yes, it brings me closer to those goals, then invest in it. It's worth your time. It will serve and add value to you. And if the answer is no, then that's what we call self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is acting in opposite to what you want to create for yourself. So invest in things that make you better aligned with your goal, and disinvest from things that move you away from it.
Couldn't agree more. And laugh, because most of it is just so funny. Everything about life is ridiculous. I always think I want to be the person who can laugh at a funeral, not at the funeral of someone I really care about that I'm being, you know, irreverent, but you've got to be able to laugh at everything, including death and anxiety and matric results and the economy and the government. And these things are so hilarious if you just step away from them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had a shitty end of year last year. But
we laughed at that funeral.
And you were sending me very funny memes the whole way through December. So I don't think it's all bad.
We still laugh. We still cry.
Yeah.
Cried and laughed yesterday after selling my dad's car and watching it being reversed down the driveway by someone who didn't have a fucking license. And that car my brother bought for my dad when he was 11 years old, he found it.
Oh, wow.
And my dad looked after that car like you will not believe. And there it went, revving, over-revving.
Oh, God.
Stalling. We had to, my brother had to go and find them down the road. They didn't know how to. But we laugh.
All right. Well, we've got a whole hour of hilarity to ensue, so don't go anywhere. We've got lots to talk about. Among other things, Leanne has been busy. She's found out all about the LA fires, because there's an update on that, which is still ongoing. And I mean, even the people in that, I listened to Bill Maher's podcast on Saturday, and he was laughing. He's making jokes about it, you know. You have to. I mean, people have lost everything, but you've got to laugh. Because otherwise, you're just going to cry. Exactly. And that laughter's better. Can you think of it? What's that?
I'm saying absolutely. It helps you transcend for sure.
Shit. I forgot that you were even there, Doc. It's like the voice of God. All right, Doc, we'll catch up with you next week. And maybe, you know, the audience have been clamoring for you. And they want you to come in here and sit with us for a whole hour one morning. So see if you can clear a place in the diary. It would be good.
I'm on it. All right, guys.
Have a great year.
See you too, guys.
Bye. All right, there we go. And then Leanne will also tell us if you can think of a dog breed that could defeat a wolf.
Mm.
You know, I sometimes look at my dog. No,
sorry,
I know
Dan,
she.
That's
could.
Funny.
No, and I look at her and I'm like, there's no way that is like.
No, she would. No,
that
shame.
Dog is not descended
a
from
wolf
wolves.
A wolf would swallow her whole if it yawned.
Absolutely. Because this is ridiculous. You couldn't live in the wild.
Little Alice.
Little Alice couldn't make it through the wild after 4 hours, she'd be crying.
I mean, if a...
She thinks she's very brave, though. I mean, she barks at, you know, barks at other dogs and...
Shame. No, not her forte, fighting wolves.
Well, we'll find out which dog breeds can. All of that and more coming up. Don't go anywhere.